KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. It is the Brian Suit Show. A programming note. Tomorrow night, Tim Conway Jr. will be filling in for me. I wish I could say it's a personal reason or whatever, but it's not. It's state business. I'll be working for the governor tomorrow at Fort Irwin, California. Not my choice, you understand. But I'll be, I have to count my howitzers at Fort Irwin, California. We'll be done Friday morning, and that means I'll be back Friday night. So anyway, it's part of the joy. Thank you, all of you, for paying your taxes, and I'll get in character tomorrow at 6 a.m. So, and I'll listen to Handle all the way. You can get KFI to Utah. What am I saying? Yeah, I got an email from some dude in Minnesota tonight who's not streaming. He's actually listening on the amplitude modulation. So
you blast throughout the entire West, especially at night, especially after sundown.
So I'll listen to Handle on the way as I commute out to Fort. Where the hell are you? And then I'll be back Friday night, and I won't tell you anything about it because it's none of your damn business, and it'll just depress me. So. And by the way, they better all be there because each one of them is about $4 million and I signed for 17 of them. So damn it. So I can, here's something I can do on Google Earth. I can go on Google Earth. I can count my howitzers, but that might be a 2-year-old photo. I don't know. One of these days I'm going to record what I sound like when I'm in character. Cause I'm not like what I am here. And I'm lucky because I work with a bunch of people who have no idea what I do for a living. So they don't know that there's this other person. So they just think I'm, anyway, this stunned me. Well, it stunned me for its clarity. You know, sometimes you learn the most about yourself by asking someone who's a complete stranger to look on the outside and tell you what they see. You learn a lot about America by talking to immigrants. You know, you get reinvigorated when you talk to immigrants about how special this place is, the opportunities, et cetera, et cetera. You get truth from strangers. Today at the Santa Clarita Trader Joe's, my little daughter just had her H1N1 vaccine this morning, and I was talking to a mother who had her two kids who also had theirs this morning, and she had a thing on the end of her nose, and I've never met this woman ever before in my life. And so I had the freedom to tell her, there's a thing on your nose, go like this. And she missed it, and I went, no, go like this. And she missed it, and I said, no, keep going. And she got the thing off her nose, and she said, wow, thanks. And I said, yeah, isn't that weird? I'm a stranger, so I can tell you that. And we laughed about that. Well, so California versus Texas. This is why I tell you this, because an Englishman at his blog is contrasting why is it that California, by the way, 2008, did you know this? 70% of all new jobs in America, 70% of all new jobs in America were, what's the word, formed, were in Texas. 70% in one state. Texas is the most analogous state to California because of its ethnic diversity and its size. Also, the fact that industry-wise, it's a combination of energy like California, of agriculture like California, of some technology, though not near California. In California, it is agriculture, huge, energy a little bit, entertainment and tourism, enormous. Texas, big with tourism. But Texas is on a different arc than we are. Why? Why is California spiraling? And no one, the people who should be watching this, the people who should be crying foul are the ones that we elect to go to Sacramento. But they are the pigs at the trough who benefit when the ship sinks. Apparently they don't care. So why is Texas growing? Texas and California are America's two most populous states, together numbering approximately 55 million people, which is only about 6 million less than the United Kingdom, where I live. This is by Ryan Streeter from a blog in Great Britain called the Legatum Institute, L-E-G-A-T-U-M, and he blogs about things America and American from there. California, as everyone knows, has a coolness factor that Texas cannot match. Hollywood, Silicon Valley, and wine, say no more. But unless one has been living in a cave, everyone knows that the cool state is also the broke state. If Hollywood turned California's budget and fiscal position into a movie, it would be a blockbuster horror film indeed. Texas, on the other hand, is growing, creating wealth, attracting the entrepreneurial and creative classes that too many people think only go to places like New York and California. This is an interesting post from an Englishman who is making these observations with the detachment of someone on the outside. He comes up with 4 points. What are the four, if you have to boil it down to four reasons why Texas is growing and California is eating its own tail, these are them. First, Texans, on average, believe in laissez-faire markets with an emphasis on individual responsibility. I'll repeat that. Individual responsibility. Since the 80s, California's policymakers have favored central planning solutions and a reliance on a government social safety net. This unrelenting commitment to big government has led to a huge tax burden and triggered a mass exodus of jobs. The Trends magazine editors examined the resulting migration in the April 2008 issue of Trends in the article Voting with Our Feet. If you want to read more, look at that. Trends magazine, April 2008, before the housing crash, Voting with Our Feet. Second, Californians have largely treated environmentalism as a religious sacrament rather than as one component among many in maximizing people's quality of life. As we explained in The Road Ahead for Housing in the June 2009 issue of Trends magazine, environmentally based land use restrictions centered in California played a huge role in inflating the recent housing bubble. Environmentally based land use restriction centered in California played a huge role in inflating the recent housing bubble. Similarly, an unwillingness to manage ecology proactively for man's benefit has been behind the recent epidemic of wildfires. In other words, have fires to fight fires, for instance, or let fires burn, because as it turns out, it's a natural element. Third, California has placed ethnic diversity above assimilation, while Texas has done the opposite. Identity politics has created psychological ghettos that have prevented many of California's diverse ethnic groups and subcultures from integrating fully into the mainstream. Let me say that again in English. Identity politics has created psychological ghettos that have prevented many of California's diverse ethnic groups and subcultures from integrating fully into the mainstream. Texas, on the other hand, has proactively encouraged all the state's residents to join the mainstream. Number four, the fourth reason. Texas is on an upward arc and California is spiraling downward. Beyond taxes, diversity, and the environment, Texas has focused on streamlining the regulatory and litigation burden on its residents. Meanwhile, California's government has attempted to use regulation and courtrooms to transfer wealth from its creators to various special interest constituencies. Those are his 4 points again. So it's taxes, environmentalism, ethnic diversity versus succeed, be part of the group rather than tell us, hyphenate your name, and fourth, don't use the courts to take my money or to take opportunity. I'll add to this, by the way, some facts that perhaps you are forgetting. Since Welfare to Work in the mid-90s, which Clinton was drugged to the table to sign, do you all know, and I assume you all know this, you can't go forward and even think about this and digest this until you know this about California. California is currently the residence of 32% of all of America's welfare recipients in one state. Every other state jumped on board Welfare to Work with both feet, including Texas. California found ways to resist it. And so in 2009, nearly one-third of all of America's welfare recipients are in a state that represents about one-tenth of the population. That's California. It's a burden. It's an entitlement. Besides the entitlements of the unions that are actually working, then they retire and move out of the state, we are also burdened by these kind of, people on welfare. And no one bats an eye. So you wonder why the people who create wealth are leaving? Because this state is a failing model, and no one seems to know it. So we thank an outsider. More on this in just a minute. What's so great about Texas? What does who the hell needs jobs? We'll look into that in just a moment. Apparently nobody in Sacramento is saying this, and we'll examine that right after this. The Brian Suit Show, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. The Brian Sitcho. Give the gift of food to families, which is quite key to life. Give this gift of this food to families that are less fortunate this holiday season. Donate to the Salvation Army. No one should go hungry this holiday season. $33 can help feed a local family of four for an entire week. KFI, AM 640, and Fox 11 join forces for the Salvation Army Family Food Drive at the Americana at Brand in Glendale. And that's where I'll be next Tuesday from 7 to 10 on the Brian Sitcho Show. And Airs Inn in Orange on Tuesday, December 8th as well. The morning show, Bill Handel, and then John and Ken are going to be at Airs Inn in Orange. Then I'll be at the Americana at Brand in Glendale. And we had a great time last year, so come on out this year. Bring the canned food or the cash. They don't eat the cash, but they convert the cash into food to put into their head holes. Make a difference by donating cash or non-perishable foods. For ways to help, 800-SAL-ARMY or log on to KFIAM640.com, keyword radiothon. So let's review. 70% of new jobs in 2008 were made in Texas. People are fleeing California because California's $26 billion in the hole, recently been paying its bills with IOUs earlier this year. 100,000 people per year are fleeing the Golden State, and they're not, they're the job creators or the people who make stuff. And I got to tell you, regardless of what their last name is or skin color, it's got nothing to do with that. It's the fact that whoever they are, they're leaving here with their innovation, their wealth, et cetera. You're hearing right here on KFI, there's that county in Texas outside of Houston that advertises. You know why they advertise on KFI? Because people that make stuff or invest in stuff listen to KFI, and then they move to that place in Texas because they have no income taxes. But oddly enough, when you call 911, the cops come and the fire department comes. Oh, by the way, it doesn't cost $70,000 a year per capita for an inmate in Texas or Florida. It costs about $30,000 a year. Oh, and by the way, death row actually means it is a row where you live on where your death will be hastened rather than waited fondly for. That death row means something in fricking Texas. So anyway, more of same. What happens when the people that create wealth and pay taxes leave the place that relies on their taxes and their wealth? Well, that place implodes. And so you know what? I used to think it was going to be this year. I've got more cynical about this. It's going to be a while because California can still get credit, even though it's the lowest rated state in the union. That should be a canary in the coal mine. Texas, on the other hand, considered something of a backwater in the 50s and 60s, certainly not a glamorous destination for the upwardly mobile masses. How things change. Unemployment in that state, 2 percentage points below the national average. One of the lowest states of repossession for housing. There was no state income tax, and there's no tax on capital gains in Texas. So the other thing is, I mean, I don't know that people even question this, but things like I've never heard of a state that has a Bureau of Automotive Repair, a state that pays you to do what you should figure out to do. Get your car that can't pass smog off the road. Go buy a new car. But no. We're paying for you to do something that you should do. Anyway, I tweeted out the blog, The Essence and Future of Texas versus California. Read it, live it. And deal with it. By the way, and I guess the final thing on this is that the of the Fortune 500 headquarters of the Fortune 500 companies, California has 51 headquarters of Fortune 500 companies. New York has 56. Texas has 64. And Boeing, by the way, left Seattle, Washington, several years ago. The Boeing company's corporate headquarters left Seattle, Washington, several years ago. Where did they go? Long Beach? Silicon Valley? No, they went to Chicago. But the point is that you need to set up an environment where people that invest stuff and make things come and hire people, your people, to work there and make the things that they've invested and invented. And that's how it works. That's why Lockheed was right up the road here at Burbank for so long. And you know where it is now? Well, it's not here in Burbank. So. Here's a final word, by the way. Here's an email. I don't want to, you know what? When we come back, we'll talk about Tiger again. Because one of the points I made And I'll expand on this because someone took umbrage with what I said. Was that Tiger, a flawed guy, the son of a flawed guy, a guy whose closest friend was his father, and his father was a flawed man. So I don't know that we should blame Tiger for all this. And the thing that I said was, no one is saying this. It's not a backhanded compliment. Take it at face value. But the fact that Tiger's wife is coming at him apparently with a golf club, striking him in the face, hands, and chest, and apparently he didn't hit her back because the neighbors that called 911, the neighbors that were at the accident scene said that she looked distressed but unmarked. So that's how we know that. And authorities did show up there, and she didn't have a mark on her. So I will say this. He didn't hit her back. So at least the guy knows what the rules of being a man are. Well, I have an email that has an opposite viewpoint, and you must hear this. When we come back, more Tiger Talk right after this on the Brian Suit Show in the KFI Newsroom. Aaron Bender has the latest. Thank you, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Don't worry, I'm not a pita nut. I know that human life is more valuable than animal life. It's just that I'm kind of psycho when it comes to people that are unnecessarily cruel to dogs. So, and I make no apologies for that. Not a one. All right, so we're talking about Tiger Woods. Just to catch you all up to speed, as of 8:33 Pacific time, we're still at three mistresses, and I'm assuming counting. I'm saying there's going to be at least. I'm going to back off on 17 more. I'm going to back off on 20. I'm going to make it around 10, not around, but a space round 10, exactly 10 by next Friday, because there's a payday. And I'm telling you, this guy married in 2006. It's been 3.5 years, whatever. He's had ample opportunity to have 10 affairs. And now that people are seeing that this woman got $150,000 or $125,000 for the phone message?
I think six figures, yeah.
And, of course, they said, Us Weekly said, we don't pay for stories, but they pay handsomely for photographs and recordings, like the recording of Tiger Woods and the answering machine.
I still say 14 majors, 14 mistresses.
You know what? It's not a bad rule of thumb.
I mean, that what was it? The not Yucatel, but Jamie Grubb says he met or says she met Tiger in Vegas a week after the Masters in April of 07.
And she's the one that gave the cell phone.
She's the voicemail giver, yeah.
That you have all heard to death. Real quickly, here's that. He's asking her to take her name off the answering message on her cell phone. That's the request here.
Hey, it's Tiger.
Oh.
I need you to do me a huge favor. Can you please take your name off your phone? My wife went through my phone and maybe calling you. If you can, please take your name off that. And just have it as a number on the voicemail. Just have it as your telephone number. And, okay, you gotta do this for me. Huge, quickly. Bye.
Huge, quickly. Bye. It's Tiger. And by the way, Tiger is not some sort of lover's name like Schnooky Lops or Lambikins. That's his actual legal name. But that would have been far more entertaining if he had said, hey, Lambikins, it's Schnooky Lops. So, but he didn't. It's Tiger. So embarrassment is what we're saying. And as I say, take it at face value. He didn't hit her back. He did what a man's supposed to do. He's wrong. He cheated on her. She's angry. He let her hit him. Well, that prompted an email from CE. And you'll have to bear with me. English is not CE's first language, but I must read this verbatim. I cannot believe you're devoting so much time on Tiger Woods. Who the F cares? We have a state that is actually bankrupt. People are out of work. Young men are shipped to Afghanistan. Education is going down the drain. And you are talking for an hour about a horny moron that cannot keep it in his pants. You should be ashamed of yourself. Farther. It is not okay for a man to hit a woman, or a woman to hit a man, or both of them to hit or been hit by a child. A man does not have to stay and be hit by anyone just because he is stronger. The fact that he is stronger should discourage a woman or a kid to take a shot at him. Your argument that he has to take it is stupid. There is a movement in the U.S. to pussify men.
Do not be a part of this movement. It won't last. I personally never have lifted up a finger to a woman or a child, including my own kids. Yet I won't think for a second to take a shot at anyone that will dare to hit me. Babies and elderly excluded here. I do not want to tell you how to run your program. I just want to remind you to use your talent and power for something that has meaning in our lives. Tiger Woods, God bless him. He has his own set of problems, and his predicament does not affect my life and yours. Thank you. Have a good evening. C.E.
Sound like the guy from the UMA commercials.
The talker.
The talker. At one point, you were channeling the talker.
Well, I just, for the record, he has not lifted a finger to a woman or a child, including his own kids. So the best thing he can say about himself is he's not a wife or kid beater. However, if you come at him, if you are a woman, anyone but babies and elderly, if you come at CE, he will come at you like a spider monkey. So just don't even. Don't bring it. Don't bring it on CE. This guy's a pig. He's a foreign pig who can't type. So go back to your country, you foreign pig. And I got to say, you know what? Watch a John Wayne movie, dude. I'm sure in whatever third world crap hole you grew up in, you guys were sitting here learning English from them. Why didn't you see what – you know what happened when John Wayne – in the Westerns, in the John Ford Westerns, they always came at him and gave him a couple whacks on the chest and pound, pound, pound. He grabbed their wrists and he said, oh, it'll be better. And it turns out that all they needed was a good hard kiss and a hug. That solves everything. But – That's a firm and fast rule. If you're wrong, and get this straight, CE, and the rest of you, Ferners, and Americans as well. Do I have to reset up the music? Get this straight. If you're wrong, if you've been cheating, and they catch you, and you are guilty, and they know you're guilty, and you can't deny it, there's nothing you can say. You can't erase your messages. You can only get in your Escalade, and you let her hit you. If she wants to hit you, you let her hit you. In the chest, in the face, in the head, in the ears, with a driver, with a wedge, with a sandwich, with a putter, with a ping, with a Nike, whatever, you let her hit you. You don't hit back. You don't hit back. You take it.
That may actually be where the term
Jose
came
Feliciano,
from.
By the way.
Take your lumps. That might actually have been the origin of that phrase.
That probably is what that exactly meant. That's exactly what that means. And by the way, you don't kick her out of your house. I know it's your money. That's my money. I'm Tiger Woods. That's my money. I won the Masters. You bought that house for her. She carried those kids in her. So you leave her and you get in your Escalade and go shack up with a floozy. What with shack up with four floozies? Whatever. You know, continue the bleeding. But just to get back to square one, like I say, I give Tiger Woods credit. He didn't hit her back. And the guy's 33. He grew up watching rap videos, and he grew up watching entertainment, men in entertainment living like pigs, not honoring women. And I'm sorry, but our job in life is to donate our DNA, for 8 to 9 seconds. I mean, 8 to 9 minutes. Sorry, it was a little too personal there. And if you can muster up a second round, good for you. And then you go outside the cave and you protect the woman and you go out and get food while she gestates your child. 9 months later, it pops out, and now you have to protect two people. That's your job. That's a man's job in life. The other job of a man in life is not just to provide for the woman, but to be disposable, to stand between the Mongol hordes and your cave. And so that's why men don't hit women, because women can do something special. And by the way, I am not pussy whipped. I gotta say, the reason I talk like this is because I spent 39 years getting all this out of my system. As I said the other night, from Modesto to Livermore to Oakland to Salt Lake City to Reno to Portland to Sarajevo to Prague to Budapest, to Athens, and then back to Budapest, and then back to Prague, and then back to Budapest, and then back to Seattle. And so I mean, that's why it took a long time of me wandering to realize what I was missing, and that's what I was missing.
There's a difference. I don't know if it's a fine line, but there is a difference between dedicated and whipped.
Yeah, and I got to say, I wasted nearly a decade of my life with a mousy person. And I thought it was better for me. I thought, oh, that's what I need. I need something to keep me in line. I need the mouse. I need the mouse to read my check, my bank statements. And Mousy, they're mousy in the morning, and they're mousy in the drive to the movie, and they're mousy when you're picking a movie. They're mousy in the restaurant. They're mousy during the intimate times. They're like mice. And it just took me a long time to realize I'm wasting my time with mice. I don't respect Mousy. And I wouldn't have been faithful to Mousy. And the other thing is I really am weary. I'm leery of men who marry stupid women. There's something wrong with a man that needs a dog with human skin and hair. Dogs are brilliant, but they're not humans. If you want a dog, get a dog. I have friends that have married dolts, and I don't get it. I mean, what do you talk about? It's a long drive. What do you talk about? You have to marry above yourself. You have to marry someone smarter than you, hopefully. So, and you know what the product is there? My daughter's 7 months. She's standing up on her own. She crawls to the wall, puts her hands on the wall, stands up on both feet, and then leans off on one hand and will grasp stuff with her free hand at 7 months. That's what you get when you marry smart. And so with that as the product, and by the way, this is me being sanctimonious. And you know why? Follow me around for the rest of my life. I will never dog around on the woman that produced my daughter. She has a magic hoo-hoo. And I honor that. And so that's why I found the magic hoo-hoo.
Never heard of
it. And yeah, you've met my daughter. Didn't you meet my daughter?
I did.
Yeah. How about that deal? You know, once you find that, yeah, it's not, I guarantee there's not another one out there. And so, and I've test driven a lot of equipment, and she knows that. So that's one of the reasons whenever I say, oh yeah, I can't wait to take you to Europe, I realize what I remember about Prague and Budapest is not exactly what I want to bring my family back for.
Perhaps Paris might be better suited.
No, it's a sleazy man's Prague. But anyway, so that's my wrap up on Tiger Woods. And also, I should say this. This is a great opportunity to point this out. Tiger Woods' dad was not exactly faithful to his own mom, and that's documented. People know that. I come from a different background, and my makeup is this. My mother was in a hospital bed when I was 9 years old. My mom had MS all my adult life. And my father had just retired from the Federal Aviation Administration, from the FAA. My dad spent 24 hours a day within one room of my mom. Never put her into a home, took care of her day and night because he loved her. And the night my mother decided to die after 20-something years in a hospital, but the night she decided it was time to go, the next day we took my dad to a restaurant for the first time in 20 years. He had not even been to a restaurant. And so whenever I talk about the word devotion, I have a really odd frame of reference. My frame of reference for the word devotion is a man who takes care of his wife hand and foot, literally because he has to, for 20 plus years, for a quarter of a century. And so it's a tough bar. And you know what? I would never tell my dad this, but if I ever found out that this one time maybe a thing happened, I wouldn't have it in my heart to be angry. But I won't go there. Anyway, so that's so Tiger. If you need someone to bend an elbow with and commiserate, I'm your guy, Morton's in Burbank, and you're buying because you're a billionaire. We'll be back in a minute. It's the Brian Suit Show, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. It is the Brian Suit Show, and next hour, a possible Tiger Woods divorce bill. What would the invoice look like if Tiger Woods got divorced? Even in Florida, a stunning figure coming up, and not just on his wife. Hey, coming up next hour, real quickly, last night after President Obama gave his Afghanistan policy announcement speech, A lot of little bits of fallout happened. Chris Matthews from MSNBC saying that the president went to the enemy camp. There was video of cadets falling asleep in the rows and things like that. The initial comment that I got that I was able to pass on to you on the air, and as far as I'm concerned, the final comment on the president's Afghanistan policy was passed on to me by an acquaintance who goes by the pen name Dalton Fury, and he's the author of the book Kill Bin Laden. He was the U.S. Army Delta Force commander in Tora Bora in October, November, December of 2001, whose task it was to lead the Delta Force guys on the mission of killing bin Laden. They failed. He's the first to tell you that. And anyway, his book, Kill Bin Laden, is a fascinating read. And right now on Drudge, if you go to Drudge Report right now, there's a photo that Yahoo News and AP is putting out there on the net. The cadets, prior to the speech and during the speech, are reading books, and one cadet is reading Kill Bin Laden by Dalton Fury. And it's interesting, I have to point this out to you so that you know what it is you're looking at. Obama's in the wings. He's about to speak on Afghanistan. This cadet, this isn't West Point from 10 years ago. West Point right now is filled with combat veterans, enlisted guys who have done tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, and who have applied and been appointed to West Point. Well, this guy sitting there reading Kill Bin Laden, he has a CIB, a combat infantryman's badge, meaning that in combat, he was an infantryman, or rather, he was an infantryman who was in combat. So that guy with a walking around West Point, around a bunch of 18 and 19-year-olds who were Johnny high school quarterback, these guys now are strolling around West Point, combat veterans, before they're even commissioned. So here's this guy sitting there with his combat infantryman's badge reading Kill Bin Laden by Dalton Fury, awaiting President Barack Obama to drop his pearls of wisdom about Afghanistan onto a room full of people. And Chris Matthews did not know to make this point because he's a blithering moron. But the irony of Obama talking to people, the youngest of whom has spent more time physically on the ground in Afghanistan than he has fighting, is probably lost in the vast majority of people. But this photo says it all. And I'll tweet it out, or you can go to Drudge Report right now. This cadet sitting there reading Kill Bin Laden, sitting at West Point waiting for Obama. The Tiger Woods divorce settlement, we'll get to that next hour. What would the price be? Well, a small third world country's debt, maybe, some might say. We'll give you the exact figure, plus a newsbender. When we come back, it's the Brian Suit Show, KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.